Can you hear me?
No.
Yeah, it seems so. So, may I start? I think we've already covered quite a few interesting topics in the course of the day, so hopefully you're still awake and capable of receiving some more technical stuff into your brains, and hopefully I make a good job of teaching you a little bit about the stuff I've been working on in the last month. I wanted to give the presentation of the year and start with a live demo. Unfortunately, this is Caro's laptop. Thank you for that. I couldn't connect my laptop to the Beamer. So no live demo. I'm sorry for that. So we are just stuck with boring slides. So let me introduce myself. My name is Ralf Böhme. I'm a member of the summer team, and I work for Cernet. And this presentation is about something I've had the honor of working in the previous months in this year, which I found very, very exciting. And it's about integrating Elasticsearch searching into Samba. So Mac clients can use the Mac Spotlight search protocol to search our Samba service. Okay? So we have Elasticsearch, which is kind of an enterprise-y indexing and search machine that is clustered, that scales up, that scales out. That's the target we have when we implement the Spotlight protocol in Samba, and we want to hook into Elasticsearch. And so on the left, we have this Lucene thingy, which is the underlying machinery used by Elasticsearch to actually do the indexing of stuff and searching on a single node. There are two different projects. Lucene is an Apache project. It's Apache Lucene. Elasticsearch is an open source project, kind of open core, so most parts are open source, unfortunately. Not all of them. So this talk tomorrow morning from Karen, who's not here, unfortunately, gave me some thoughts about this choice. But customer requests drove this, Elasticsearch. So there we are. Let's move on and start with a brief recap on Samba and Spotlight. I'm not sure if anyone in this room is familiar with what is Samba, probably? What is Spotlight? Anyone already fell asleep? So, it's Apple's desktop search tool. I mean, most of you, I don't know, what are you using on your laptops? I see quite a bunch of Macs. Anyone actively using search features on their notebooks, be it on a Mac, be it Linux, or whatever, or Windows? You think, hey, I need this file, where is it? I have no idea. Ah, okay, open the search dialog. There it is. No one, really? Oh, one, two, three. Hey, here we go, more, great, okay, yeah. Customers do it. Okay, I think, yeah. We'll come to that later, I think, yeah. Your use case. locate. Which works great for text file content, right? Yeah. It's Apple's desktop tool for searching, and relevant for our context, it works on network mount. So there's some support in the network protocols in Apple's original file sharing protocol, AFP, and then later introduced to the SMB protocol by Apple. To allow the client to search on servers, not just locally, but on servers. So there's an RPC protocol, which I call here the Spotlight RPC protocol, but as we will see later, it's a kind of a Russian Matryoshkin doll where it's nested stuff. So it's really, really ugly. And now relevant for us as a file server, we're not doing the indexing and we're not doing the searching for something in a database itself. We're kind of just like a proxy. So we get the search request from the client and we pass it on to whatever backend we support on the server. And currently, there's one backend that we support in Samba since a few years, and that's GNOME Tracker, which is one of the standard Linux tools for indexing and searching. Over the years, I heard of a nice vendor who already did what I did this year, who added Elasticsearch support to the Samba Spotlight protocol implementation. And from hearsay, there's a locate backend someone is using. I'm not mentioning any names. So GNOME Tracker, it was nice to add an implementation with that because it's you have some simple local APIs that you can use. But it's a desktop tool. So targeting servers, enterprise markets, it has serious limitations. It's just not intended and built for servers. It uses SQLite as a data store. So you're limited to single node storage and implementation-wise for full text indexes, FPC later, because Lucene uses something totally different. This is not an ideal choice. So it does not scale, neither up nor out. And initially the implementation, we had a very hackish kind of even loop integration. So the even loop in Samba is we're using T-Event, which is our own library we use for the S-Event library. And Tracker, it as a GNOME tool, uses a GNOME glib event. So I somehow had to find a way to integrate both even loops. And the initial approach there is really, really ugly. So I'm kind of very glad that we recently got fixed of that by adding something which we call the T-Event glib glue, which is a kind of intermediate small wrapper library which allows you to pull GNOME glib event sources from T-Event. So, but having implemented that and having fixed this nasty problem, essentially, I wouldn't really recommend using GNOME Tracker on servers. It's nice as a proof of concept, but it has too many limitations. So there are other problems with the implementation and with the Spotlight protocol in general. The protocol, the support in Samba is really still very much experimental for several reasons. The name of this protocol, of the RPC protocol that is used to carry the search requests over SMB, is MDS-SVC, which is probably an abbreviation for Metadata Search Service or something like that. And the problem is there is zero documentation from Apple. Nada. Niente. I asked for that, but I asked the file server team, and then they just said, oh, different team, go away. And once I tried to get in contact with the teams that inside Apple might be responsible for this, but I never got any response. So the whole shit is reverse engineered, and which means, I don't know, maybe 50% of still unknown members fields in the protocol. So here's an IDL fragment for one function in the protocol, and the function name itself is unknown one. I implement it because it's really trivial checking what an Apple server returns to this request. It's easy to implement that, but I just mimic what an Apple server returns to this request, but I have no idea really what it is. A few fields were easy to guess, like you see a so actually that's not right. You see a new ID, user ID field, a group ID field, a field I called flags, which I have no idea if these are really flags. It could be something else entirely, and so on. So this is just an example of the problem that we're facing here with implementing this in Samba, that we have no documentation on this from Apple. So there's much, much guesswork, and yes. And that's only part of the problem. It gets worse because This MDS SVC RPC is essentially just a transport for another query language that is used inside this in this protocol that where essentially the real query language, which is some kind of a JSON-esque language, binary encoded, luckily, so we had to reverse engineer the binary encoding too. And this one is undocumented as well. So we have kind of two protocols, one nested inside the other, and who the hell knows what it's really supposed to do. So this one is undocumented as well. I had to reverse engineer it, the binary transport encoding on the wire, because Apple in their ingeniosity, I don't know why, implemented some kind of binary encoding, while this very much is just JSON. You could really just implement this by on the wire by using string encoding like JSON does. They have bools, they have numbers, they have strings, arrays, and dictionaries. So I don't see the reason why Apple and binary encoded that. It would have saved me many, many weeks if Apple would have done that instead of using this strange binary encoding. So on the next slide, actually, so on the next slide, in the end, when you have decoded this binary encoding, you end up with something that looks very similar to JSON. So it's essentially all strings. You have data structures, arrays, dictionaries, and stuff like parameters in the query, and so are all encoded as strings. So most things can quite easily be guessed. What they're supposed to do. For example, if you look there at the top, you have something which is called open query with params. So this would carry, this carries a context identifier that would be in here, below there. That's the query string. Can't be query string. Okay, that's probably the query, right? Yeah, it is. So that's the underlying query language Apple uses in Spotlight, more on that later. And then you see something like here, scope array, so the scope, we can guess what that is, and you have a path, so we're probably supposed to search for Samba somehow underneath that path. And yeah, just to give you an impression of the binary encoding, it's probably too small for you to see how this binary encoding here really is taking place here. It's essentially the batch first delay. See up there, open query with params. So it's the same query that is decoded here and as a textual representation, binary encoded. So yeah, what can you do? We have that working. But yeah, I don't know the reason why Apple did this. So the Spotlight support in Xamarin tooling, stuff like we have a Wireshark Spotlight, the sector that is working, as you see here on the previous slide, which helps a lot, of course, being able to look into traces of what is happening between Apple clients and servers when they search on the wire. And then one problem is that with really getting Spotlight support in Samba to a higher level is that we have no really higher abstraction Spotlight client library. So all we have are the low-level DCI RPC bindings, which you would use in a higher level query language, a query library that could then be used from tools to actually have a client side in Spotlight. So we only have the server side in Spotlight. We're completely kind of lacking an implementation, an usable implementation of the client side. So for example, Apple has a command line tool mdfind that you can use on the command line, instead of using the GUI that probably most Mac users use in Finder. And That was actually the tool I wanted to demonstrate here at the start, which I couldn't, unfortunately. And because as part of my implementation here of the work, I added a similar client to Samba. And the next then, currently we have zero tests of the whole shit. Zero. Not at the DC-RPC protocol level, not at the functional level, nothing. So if it works, you're lucky. If it doesn't, it's kind of expected. We're here in the context of Elasticsearch. So in Elasticsearch, everything is somehow called a stack. And Lucene, Elasticsearch, Samba Spotlight, we have the last stack here. And so how this got started? We had a customer who was interesting of providing search capabilities to their Mac clients in their company. I don't know, something between 500 and 1,000 clients or something like that. And the customer told me they had something like 200 terabytes of data, 150 million files. And they tried to use GNOME Tracker. And I think they failed miserably. It's cumbersome to configure because it's GNOME Tracker is supposed to be is implemented as a user service on Linux boxes, and the whole configuration machinery that GNOME Tracker uses is expecting dbus user session service stuff. So you have to do a lot of dbus configuration and stuff like that to actually run the service as a system service. So the configuration is a nightmare. And in the end, it's just too slow, and the indexes got very huge. I think the customer reported that. I don't know how big that was, but it was, I said, oh, wow. for that few files, that's really quite big. And it was just, indexing was slow. Searching was, I think, unusable. I knew that a NAS vendor, I found that out a few years ago, was using Elasticsearch as backend in their Samba implementation on their NAS boxes. So I mentioned that to the customer, that, hey, there is an implementation of that. I could grab the open source code from that vendor and we could try to bring that upstream. I don't know what shape that is, how much is missing, and so on. And that's how it started. The customer then started testing with Elasticsearch. Just the indexing, I think, and just searching, not via Samba, because we had no implementation at the time, but just doing direct REST queries. I don't know, here we are a web GUI that talks to Elasticsearch or on the command line. And he had way better results. And I think there was just even just an Elasticsearch test system with just one node. And the cool thing is about Elasticsearch is that it adds clustering to the whole thing. And even with just one node, it performed very, very well. So a few words on the underlying technology, Apache Lucene. So Apache Lucene is a full text search engine, which is already quite old, started in 1999. It offers APIs for doing the indexing and, of course, for searching. And the way it does the full text indexing, it builds a so-called inverted index on the text. No, not on the text, on the text. I don't know why, if this term inverted index is really helpful here. It's called like that, and it's called like that because it's an inverted index that maps back the content to the document. The data structure they use for implementing this is a sorted skip list. Anyone who is interested in what that the hell might be, I'm not going to explain in here, can read up on that. But it's something that is way better targeted, supposed to work with that kind of thing than using a SQL row store. It supports many, many advanced features. Just mentioning a few here, you can do ranked searches, faceting, fuzzy searches. And by itself, it's not clustered, so it does not scale out. I mentioned that before. So it's kind of the building block for two other projects, Apache Solar and Elasticsearch. So both projects, they add the clustering, They add network APIs. Both use REST with JSON representation for this. Because Apache Lucene by itself, it only does Java. So comparing to Samba, it's a little bit like CDDB to TDB, right? So how does searching work then? Of course, if you're talking Lucene, you would use a Java API, but what would you feed as into the Java API as query language? And I have a few examples here. It's essentially quite simple. The general form is you either just pass a value, and that tells Lucene, just search for that value in everywhere, all fields that you have indexed. But you can also restrict the search for a value to a specific field. So for example, you could just pass Samba as a string, as query string in the Java API to Lucene, and then Lucene would search all indexed fields in its database for the string Samba, and you could then also search for in the software field for a string. Those are the very basic examples, and it gets a little bit more funny. If you, of course, it supports partial queries with wildcard searches, fuzzy searches with a very interesting fast implementation. Of course, it supports expressions with Boolean logic and parentheses. It supports ranged searches where you can search by date or any number that makes sense for a field. So the basic query language is really quite quite simple. And so when back to Elasticsearch then again. So any questions so far maybe on Lucene? No, not really. Right, okay. So Lucene, building block for Elasticsearch. Elasticsearch adds clustering. And there are big users of this, of Elasticsearch. So it's a very prominent project. Wikipedia is using it for the full text search. Stack Overflow and many, many others for open source projects, companies. As I mentioned initially, it's company driven. So it's a company, Elastic, that's behind the development, who's actively working on the project. And so, and it's open core. It's not completely open source. There are relevant parts that you can only get when you throw money at them. For example, access control. The alternative is Apache Solar, which is supposed to be harder to set up, but I never tried it myself. I went directly with Elasticsearch, which is really nice to work with. So I have no personal experience with Apache Solar myself. I briefly looked into the documentation that's available on the web, and it looks like it should be straightforward as well to get that up and running. So for anyone who's looking into implementing such a search server for whatever context, my personal choice, if I could work from scratch, I would try to go with Apache Solar for that reason. So, mentioned before, Elasticsearch and Apache Solar, they both add REST API, REST APIs. So you can work with it over the network and don't have to do Java. And all resources are represented in JSON. So, yes.
You mentioned access control.
Do you or the customer that has tested Elasticsearch, do you know how dealing with Windows ACLs is implemented in those?
I haven't looked into this, how it's implemented or how it's supposed to be used now.
Okay, because
if it uses some kind of Windows, something that resembles Windows, ACLs, or I don't know.
That's an issue. Either the search engine knows what are in Windows ACLs, or it doesn't know at all about it, and you as a proxy does the filtering of every result,
yes,
which is less good.
That's what we do in Samba.
That's why I'm wondering if the closed source search engine has implemented dealing with Windows ACLs like in a effective way in the search engine.
Unfortunately, I can't answer really the question. But the Samba, the Spotlight RPC server does implement security checks. If you get a result back from Elasticsearch.
Yeah, but that's what they call late binding. I mean, that's if you have a million results, it will go file by file and check whether the user can access it. Well, if it's implemented in the search engine, you will get only the relevant results. It won't enter a directory with a million files if you can't access the directory. Well, if you do late binding, then you will get all the million files in a directory and then filter a million times.
Yes. How would be working, right? Well, I guess that's how Apple implements it themselves. I doubt that they, from my understanding of the implementation of Apple's MDS as far as VC service, they don't do security checks in the search server themselves. Mm-hmm. It's relying on file system access checks, I believe.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
So here are a few examples of the REST API for Elasticsearch. At the top, the so-called document API, which can be used to index a document, fetch it, update, delete. And document in this content means you don't throw an actual file at it, but you generate a JSON blob. Document in this context means JSON. So you generate JSON in whatever manner you want, and you throw it at Elasticsearch via the document API, and Elasticsearch then indexes your JSON blob, stores it in the index, all fields that shall be indexed, and also stores the complete JSON content by default in its document store. So afterwards, you can then use the search API for actually running searches against it. There's a simple form, just a UI search, a GET request, index is, of course, would be replaced with an actual index name. So you can have several indexes in an Elasticsearch server with a real name. So if the index would be called Ralph's files, then you would see then just Ralph's files. And then search, query, field, and value. That's the very simple form for queries. For the more complicated stuff, you use HTTP body requests with a post. Where I have a very simple example here. So that would be the JSON body and then JSON, what would you say, a blob, JSON string in an HTTP post body, where we have query string, query, and this then here is the actual query that is understand and parsed and executed by Lucene. So now on to how to add all this stuff interfacing with Elasticsearch to Samba. Any questions on the Elasticsearch side? No. Good. Yes.
Thanks. So I think normally there is a client library for Elastic, but it's in Java, I think. So probably you want to tell us, have you implemented a new client in C then for the Samba pieces?
For client for what?
I mean, you're taking some requests from Spotlight and then translating that into requests for Elastic in the backend.
For Elasticsearch.
So you're acting as a client for Elastic.
Right.
In the C code in Samba.
Yes.
And this client, you have just written it from scratch or have you used something?
No, I was lucky.
Okay, good.
HTTP client. I mean, it's HTTP, right? REST over HTTP. And we have an HTTP client library already in source 4 or something. There was only missing a few pieces. It didn't provide a real connection object. It combined a T-event queue and a stream, and that was a little bit non-optimal. So I just added that you have a real connection object. I moved it to the top level from source 4, and it all the only thing it supports until now is, I think it doesn't even so do get it. It's used for DC RPC over HTTP, and that uses some kind of strange. I don't remember that. Anyone does? Anyone in the room? Metze? What was that called? The DC RPC HTTP stuff that has a special kind of. Yeah. So it's a special kind of HTTP request string, I think, and until now it does not support either GET or POST or anything. But all we really need is for searching for the.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, you're saying that's the
this.
Transport, right? That's the transport.
That's the transport. Exactly.
The payload is just JSON or GET requests, so that's easy.
Right.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Yes. So now coming to Samba, and then talking to Elasticsearch, and that happens over HTTP. In HTTP REST, everything is just JSON blobs. So there's the libjensen we already use extensively, I think, in Active Directory part of Samba. So I think I'm not really going into much detail of that. I'm just using that library for parsing the JSON and producing JSON. So for the transport HTTP, that was very easy to solve. And next is we already now have an existing implementation of the MDS SVZ service that uses the GNOME tracker. So I had to do some serious restructuring and refactoring of that to split kind of front-end processing where I'm receiving the requests from the client from the back-end processing where I'm throwing the requests at GNOME tracker or Elasticsearch or Locate or whatever. So that is already finished. And then I was able to add a new Elasticsearch backend, which I think it's only kind of like 600 or 700 lines of code for hooking into the async HTTP even flow and producing JSON requests that I throw at Elasticsearch, and then I wait for the responses and pass the responses. So it's fully async, it's TVN direct based, and I think it's not that big, quite small and quite self-contained. And you could actually use, there's a per share option then, there will be a per share option where you can actually say, okay, I have this share or a set of shares where I really want to use Elasticsearch by. I have a few shares still where I want to use GNOME Tracker, but I don't think anyone will use it, but it's an option. So an interesting point is, and I think I've already covered this in previous talks already, two is how to actually map the real underlying query language that Apple uses to the final query language that Lucene uses. So this is what it looks like Apple Spotlight query language looks. The final string that is deeply nested in all these MDS, SVC, RPC, and the JSON style RPC. In the end, somewhere there is a text string with the query. And it goes like attribute name equals Samba and attribute name equals something else. Wildcard search. Now, how to translate that in an automated fashion to something else? That Elasticsearch and Lucene, I mean, this should read Lucene probably, not Elasticsearch, because it's Elasticsearch just forwards it to Lucene. Lucene executes the query. And so I wrote a parser and Alexa using Flex and Bison that converts that on the fly. It converts the attribute names and the overall expression syntax. It's quite straightforward once you get into it, writing a parser there with Bison. I don't know, anyone who also implemented parsers with Bison yet? Makes fun. And so we have an attribute mapping, KMD item FS name. This is actually the KMD is constant metadata, the name Apple gives for the actual file name attribute. So in Samba, I added a JSON mapping table that can be changed at runtime it's stored on disk, or it's read from disk when started or when reconfiguring the service. Where I'm actually storing mappings, do I have the file, KMD item FS name? So this is the attribute that Apple is using, and that's the mapping, that's the attribute that Elasticsearch uses when files are indexed with a specific tool. We also have at the bottom here a different mapping table that maps file types. Apple has something they call UTI, Universal Type Identifiers, and it's called like reverse dotted domain naming style. So you have something like public.jpg, and in Elasticsearch, it's all just MIME types. So we have this mapping table here from these UTIs to MIME types, and they have a few funny. So Apple has a few funny versions of this UTIs, which are just numbers. So if you run across a number 11, that's actually supposed to be searching for a PDF. I don't know why. Maybe there is no UTI type in their complex namespace that really would match something like public.pdf, or I don't know. So there are a bunch of them which are just numbers, and we have to map them to MIME type. So this is just an excerpt. There are many, many more. It's probably not complete. They may be missing something, either attribute mapping or MIME type mapping. But this is just a file that somebody reads from disk when starting. So this can easily be tweaked and changed, modified, or added additional attributes. And then this is something I discovered when starting also to write tests, which I come to next, is how Apple actually works an Apple SMB server with Spotlight, where a file system that you connect to on the Apple server is excluded from being indexed. You have that option on a Mac. You can say, yeah, I have this path, but I don't want it to be indexed. So what would happen on these RPC, at this MDS, SVC, RPC layer if a client connects to that share on the SMB layer and then does MDS, SVC requests to connect to kind of this search endpoint? The server just says, okay, you're connected. Go ahead. Connection works. You can search. So what happens when you search? You get no results. And that's different from what I previously did in my implementation with GNOME, Trongom Tracker, and all that. When a client wanted to bind to a share where Spotlight was kind of disabled via SMBconf, I just gave in DCRPC by a fault, error, something. So it was a hard error for the client, and that was not really what the client expected. So we kind of added a new default backend that just says, okay, you can search, but you get no results. So, yeah, this is where it got kind of exciting for me, because I then started to add a small helper client library to wrap the low-level DCRPC client to in the end, have a Spotlight client library and tool. So I can actually, yeah, work on my laptop here, use a tool to run searches against my Sampa server. So there's a small library, and I wrote a small tool that uses that library, mdfind. So I stole the name from Apple. Will they sue us? I don't know. And you feed that tool the exact same syntax that Apple uses. So it's essentially really a full-fledged Spotlight client of the network. So when you invoke it, you pass a name and password, and you specify a server name and a share name, and it actually does an SMB connection. And then it runs Spotlight queries using the Spotlight protocol. This was exciting, and that's what I originally wanted to present at the start of my presentation. So having all this in place, we could start adding tests. Partly because of this, because we have usable client tools and libraries, but also because it's easier. to fake an HTTP server. It's not that easy to fake a C API. So with GNOME Tracker, we're using a C API to run queries against GNOME Tracker. When I'm writing tests for Spotlight and Zamba, I want to test my stack. I don't want to test the search engine. I don't want to test GNOME Tracker. I don't want to test Elasticsearch. I just want to test my stack. So all I need is essentially something that fakes up taking search requests and gives me some response. I don't care what it does, actually, if it does any search. I just want to say, hey, I have this test. I run a search Zamba, and I expect some results. And this would have been tricky to do with Tracker, because you have to use a C API to talk to libTracker. So this could be wrapped and faked, but I never went into that. With Elasticsearch, it's much, much easier. We can just write a simple HTTP server in Python, just a few lines of code. And for the tests, we just give the HTTP server a fake response that it should return to us, which means we can just easily fake the test environment for then really testing our own stack completely, from the client and to the server. So I started actually with, while I was at it, that's the first point here. That is one thing that should have been done 5 years ago, probably, really just write a few low-level tests that really using just the raw DCE RPC functions. And I actually found many, many bugs implementing this initially. So this is already finished. The higher level tests, which I talked about before, this is still to be done, but this is essentially straightforward to get the infrastructure in place. And then we can really start adding there quite a few interesting tests that hopefully get some decent test coverage into Zamba for this as well, which we currently don't have at all. Okay, I think this is it. So any more questions on Lucene, Elasticsearch, on Zamba implementation? Tom?
I've always thought of Lucene as a fairly heavyweight thing. Did you consider any of the lighter weight ones?
Which ones?
I don't know, like Zapian is being looked at by some, right? It seems to be fairly popular, GPL, et cetera. I'm just curious if you focused, you didn't really say why you focused on Lucene, apart from the fact that it was part of the Apache suite.
Well, may I answer? So we kind of focused on Elasticsearch because, one, I knew that an S vendor was already successfully deploying it in product.
Yeah, you mentioned
that. So it was
kind of
a natural choice. They're using it. So the idea was I started with getting their open source code drop from SourceForge, where they're releasing it and looking at how they implement it.
Right.
And it was not really nice, so I essentially rewrote it from catch, but that was kind of what drove me in that direction.
Yeah.
And I think the customer that also initially tested with GNOME Tracker, they have a deployment of Elasticsearch in their company for, I don't know, Cloud Search or whatever they're using there. So that drove us into that direction. And
I'm just curious.
Just trying to give some data points. Yeah. And from research, I don't know, what do you mean by, can you qualify that? What do you mean, heavyweight?
Well, there's a bug buzzing around me.
Oh, box! Fix it.
I've seen search and in mail servers and things like that. Lucene just sometimes seems, and Solr as well, just seem unreliably complex. This guy is not letting up. I was just curious. That's all.
Yeah. So. From complexity.
Oh, also, some of them don't provide the same level of full text search. Some of them, tokenize and will search only the full token. They won't search substrings within them.
That's fully configurable.
It is.
Okay. Yes, yes. Yeah. How you tokenize, how you
in Lucene,
filter,
you mean
how you
search.
Uppercase, lowercase, and whatever, how you tokenize, or if you search.
All right. Well, never mind all that. My other question was in your intro, not the slides, but in the abstract online, you said you were going to talk about Windows search, maybe.
Oh yeah, I was hoping to. Is Noel here? I asked him if there's any news actually. So yeah, next point, final point. Windows Search Protocol. So, progress on Windows Search Protocol implementation in Samba. Noel, where are you? He's not here. Okay, so I was
giving the other talk.
Oh, right, yeah, that was the problem. Yeah. That was the problem, right. So, I wanted to give a brief update, if possible, and if Noel had any news. So I asked him, if he was able to continue his work on this, and he said, no, he got completely sucked into other projects, so we haven't worked on this for years. So, and I gave him an encouragement to pick it up again and maybe see how he can reuse my toolings. Also change. He's currently also targeting GNOME Tracker, which was the only backend available at the time. So I encouraged him to look into also supporting Elasticsearch. If we support Elasticsearch, it's very, very easy to also support Apache Solr, so essentially anything that has a REST API where we can throw a JSON edit and get back JSON responses. So we'll see next year.
So one reason for me to go with Elasticsearch was that I needed a very specific and good indexer for my file shares. And it happens that there's a project on GitHub, FS Crawler. And FS Crawler is the tool that I use to perform the indexing on my file servers. The GNOME index engine was rather slow, and the database was, probably about 450 megabytes for just a share with 30,000 files or so. And my FS crawler just finished this morning, and my Apache my ES database is now 180 megabytes for 70,000 files actually. So it's way way smaller than the GNOME Tracker database. It's way faster, and the indexer is very good and can be run in parallel on multiple shares at one, which just brings down the time you need to index all your files and all. Perform all that Tigger Apache stuff that is needed.
Okay, I'm not sure if that was clear to everyone. Maybe this is actually disclosing himself. So this is the customer that started this.
How far is the new code with Elasticsearch being from really abstracting the backend? I mean that you can VFS-like plug in your own backend.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, all,
yeah because
all
I know the code of GNOME Tracker, and it was pretty coupled. Like you had to pretty much either use GNOME Tracker or rewrite half of the Spotlight code.
Yeah. So because there was no split between front-end and back-end.
Exactly.
No, you would just add a different compilation unit, a different file, and you just implement a few abstract functions.
Probably, but it has to be non-synchronic, I guess. It still works on the T-Event async engine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So as long as you have some async backend, it will be easy to use it instead of Elastic or GNOME Tracker.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. Because some people just want to search for file names. They don't even care about the contents. You know? Yes. You don't need the heavy Elasticsearch.
With this infrastructure in place now, that would be trivial. So we're really adding a locate backend to that. That would be, I don't know, 200 lines of code, or if at all.
Yeah, that's great to know. Thanks.
Good. Okay. One more question.
Is there any idea to ingest data via the Spotlight plugin or to, right now you have to crawl the file system by a separate process. Is there an idea to to make Samba aware if a file is added?
Yes, there are ideas and thoughts, but no concrete plans yet. It wouldn't be rocket science. It would probably be quite straightforward. And it may be that in the near future, this will also be implemented. So you kind of get live indexing, right? When a user adds a file over SMB or over Samba, then Samba tells some tool, please go ahead and index that file, because currently it relies on manual crawling, which is not ideal. Yeah. Okay. So anything else? No? Okay. Then thank you very much.